Today on a chilling new episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. When a young woman graduates from college, she decides to take some time to give back through a volunteer organization. What should have been a period of service to others turned out to be a period of horror as she quickly realizes that where she's scheduled to work has far more lost souls on the grounds than the living. That story and much more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to show your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear from you. And if you like the show, be sure to check out all the bonus stuff, the EPP bonus episodes, new ones every single week, packed with some of our best ghost stories. Also, the whole archive, which is like 400 something of them now. That's the whole archive of all of the shows, all ad-free. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. Get it at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, I'm not really sure what this story is all about, but I have the feeling now people are going to hear this story and they're going to be like, that's what you get for volunteering. I'm not ever volunteering again. And I was just having a conversation with some people today and I'm like, you know, it's volunteering is so important, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And now this is going to ruin it.
And now
people are going to be like, I don't want to ever volunteer. I heard that story.
Reality. No, I mean, volunteering is a good thing. You just, you know, make sure that you would assess your risk level or whatever you want to take on for what you're going to take on, you know, but
I want to volunteer. Yeah. However, there's certain risks involved.
There is sometimes.
This building seems rather haunted, but maybe it's not extremely haunted. Yeah. Maybe the demon will follow me home or not.
It's your choice to volunteer and take that chance and de-demonize the building. But yeah,
I don't know. It seems like if you could go to your local priest and be like, I was volunteering and doing a good thing. And then, you know, I brought a demon home. It seems like you should get an exorcism for free.
Like a
if you're doing a good deed in the world, seems like Jesus would okay this one.
Or at least a BOGO. You can buy one, get one free exorcism or something like that.
Because somebody else who volunteered there needs one.
Harper was saying to me the other day in the car, she's like, Dad, like if someone called 911, could they like get an exorcist?
like, honey, like, is that the thing that runs through your head late at night when you can't sleep?
Yes, it is, totally. And I'm like, honey, good idea, but no, it's that's not how that works. She's like, well, they should have another number for that, where it's just exorcists. She's and like, then you, make it then like 7-1-1.
I knew this day would come eventually when my daughter would ask me this.
It was a very proud dad moment, actually, because it was
that is like, so Harvard.
Like, yeah, this is how our little mind works. Oh, can you get an exorcist from 911?
I would kind of like to get an exorcist from my neighborhood because that would be a lot. But it was 4th of July yesterday, which it's not if you're listening to this when it, you know, because it's like
it's no longer the 4th of July.
EPP, you're listening to this a month from now. But my God, like they're still shooting off fireworks and it sounds like you can't hear it probably tonight. Last night we couldn't have done this. Mm-hmm. It was so bad on the 4th of July here.
We could have pretended we were like war zones. Like now, reporting live from the Middle East. Yeah.
That's what it sounded like. And tonight's not quite as bad, but it's really bad. And I want to just go to my front porch and go, hey, fuckers, it's July the 5th. And another thing, where do you get all the money?
You're going to be like heavy. You're going to go like with a shotgun and just like cock it and like, hey, fuckers. And then you know.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Stop it. But, you know, it's like we were talking about it today. some people I work with. It's like people like me, I haven't celebrated the 4th of July in, Buddy's 16.
Yeah.
And my dog before him was not great with it either, actually. Well, and so it, probably well, I haven't celebrated 4th of July in about 25 years.
And you hate America. And
well,
and
I don't know. Lately, I'm not really happy with America, but hate is a strong word.
Yes, yes. But it's just, I mean, they're going to go on and on for the next week usually, doesn't it?
Because tonight it just sounds, it's throwing me because I have headphones on and I keep hearing things. I'm like, what is that? Oh yeah. It's fire. It just sounds like gunshots or something outside. Yeah. Anyways.
So there you go.
You randomly hear me shout shut the fuck up during this.
You know why? You know why?
Because I'm evil.
No.
I'm un-American.
There's that Carol. Hates America.
Hates America because she didn't go out and spend $500 on fireworks.
Well, that's the only way to...
Obviously, she hates America.
Exactly. You don't spend above that $5 mark, you ain't loving America. So, let's get our first story. It says, in 1966, I had just graduated from college and joined VISTA, Volunteers in Service to America. Our training was conducted at Bucknell College in central Pennsylvania. After several weeks, we were assigned to live with low-income families, mine being in Sunbury, Pennsylvania. The home was situated a few feet away from an old railroad track and consisted of the parents plus a teenage daughter and two younger sons. They also had an older daughter who was married with a two-year-old son, and their oldest son was serving a sentence in a juvenile facility. They showed me the room where I was to sleep, which had belonged to the incarcerated son. This was connected to the daughter's room on one side and opened onto an upstairs porch. Notice that the two sons slept in the parents' room. I thought it was nice of them to arrange for me to have a room to myself. That night I fell asleep at once, but awoke lying on my back with my right hand palm up to the window. I immediately felt that my hand was being grasped by another. Instead of being terrified, I felt that this was a welcoming spirit. I was glad that I was there. I was fully awake and remember it like it was this morning. I might have ignored it had the youngest son not asked me at breakfast. Did anything happen to you in that room? The mother immediately shouted at the son to be quiet. This was a very poor family, and the federal government was paying them to put me up. So the last thing they wanted was to scare me off. However, I told them what had happened, and the kids began to relate experiences. For years, paranormal events have been occurring there. It started with the sighting of a little girl in the dining room multiple times. And the mother started having tactile experiences. She'd be knitting in her rocking chair, which was against a wall. And she'd feel something push the chair backwards and hold her there. She became so distraught over this that her family admitted her to a local mental hospital. Fortunately, the staff there quickly recognized that she was not mentally ill. The youngest son reported that when he was in bed, he would feel a large animal lie down on top of him. Several times, apparitions had been seen in my assigned bedroom. The spirit of a man was seen to stagger through the room. He was dressed in old-fashioned clothing and appeared to be injured. The oldest son had seen a tiny figure of a male squatting on top of the current rod. Once the children were playing a game with the upstairs porch, they looked up to see a man on the inside of the door staring at them. The arrangement was that I would spend 4 days with them and then return to our main training site for the rest of the week. The second time I returned, the family reported that their grown daughter and her toddler son had been visiting and were sitting upstairs in the other daughter's room when the baby started staring at the door to the attic, which was in that bedroom, and then started screaming hysterically and pointing at the door. No one else saw anything. One evening, we were outside visiting with a neighbor who confirmed that these strange happenings. She reported that the building had once housed a train station that included a tavern where a man had been shot. He'd stumbled through that back bedroom, dropped dead. now moved into the daughter's bedroom, but had to sleep in a bed that faced the attic door. I'd stay awake all night watching that door. By this time, I was terrified to stay there and reported that I wanted to be transferred to another home. I had to go back for one more night while the move was arranged. When I was dropped off, I realized the whole family was going to sleep downstairs in the living room floor, but there was no room for me, so I had to stay upstairs by myself. They refused to tell me why they had moved from their bedrooms. I had never been so scared. Nothing happened, and after all my experiences with the spirits, I've been positive and welcoming. I often wonder what has happened to that family. Perhaps I'll never know. There you go.
I would like to know what happened to that family, too.
Yeah.
It would be very interesting to know, like, okay, when you, God dang, they're shooting stuff up. I thought somebody was shooting in my house. Like, if they moved away and that followed them?
Yeah.
You know, was it tied to the house? Was it tied to them? Or was it tied to the house and then followed them? I mean, it'd be really interesting to know.
And now the rest of the story.
Yeah, because you kind of know, like, okay, this house is creepy AF. Things happen here.
Yep.
But it's that family, you know, you wonder if they're okay. And especially if it got to the point where the mom ended up in some kind of a facility for a while anyway. Mm-hmm. That's pretty serious.
Yeah.
You know, it's like she's just trying to knit. And then she ends up in a facility.
Yeah.
But I could see how that could drive one crazy.
It was a very interesting setting and how everything kind of came together and how everyone suddenly felt able to share all their experiences. And they all realized that, okay, we're not individually insane.
But you feel like it.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
It's kind of weird because there's something about it that makes you feel a little better knowing somebody else is going through too,
mm-hmm.
rather than it's not just me.
Sure.
This is some crazy stuff, but I'm not the only one.
It could also be the setting for a new situational comedy on ABC.
Of course, it could be. Do you have a name for the situational comedy?
It'll be one of those where they're trying to bring back an older show, but it's absolutely nothing like the older show. So it would be Home Improvement. It's like, but there's nothing to do with Home Improvement, and there's nothing to do with tools. It's just like we're just slapping the name on this, and we're gonna.
Or maybe you realize that guy who lives on the other side of the fence. Really?
It's really dark. No, it's really dark. He's like a serial killer or something, and he has like a whole wall of skulls and things.
Yeah, because you can never see on the other side of the fence.
And then truly, once you do see him on the other side of the fence, he was in some sort of horrific accident, and he looks like a monster. So he's trying to create monsters in his house. And slowly, every week, a new child in the neighborhood goes missing. And they don't know who's doing it. And then they start accusing one another. And then there'll be special appearances from the Winslows on Family Matters. And then there'll also be a special appearance by Perfect Strangers. Belky and Mark will make a special appearance on that show.
I think you're onto something. Oh. And of course, in true TV fashion, no one would ever suspect the guy they've never really seen behind the fence.
Nope. And it turns out it's him. But the big other crazy twist, there's one of the sons of the Tim the Toolman Taylor he's making a reappearance as his original character. I think Randy was the kid. And he's actually in on it. And he's eating the flesh. So it gets.
That guy.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, leave it to you to eat the flesh.
Everybody's got their, like, the childhood posters, and then they start trying to remarket those, and he's got just, like, blood coming down.
Like, I always thought something was wrong with you. crazy guy.
Home Improvement. Trying to find the theme song. Yeah. Theme song. Here we go. What happens when one crazy family gets back together in a home that nobody likes? A home that sat abandoned for years. We find out as ABC brings back Home Improvement, starring Jonathan Taylor Thomas as the meth addict down the road. Patricia Richardson returns as Ma. Ma that sells dope on the corner. With Tara Noah Smith returning as the lead villain and mafioso of the area. Zachary Ty Bryan comes back to life as a serial killer. Don't miss Home Improvement, The Latter Years on ABC. There you go.
Oh, you're onto something. And once again, that's a great idea for somebody to steal.
It's just this really sad look at this, like, all American type family, and all just utterly went to shit.
Actually, that's not so far from crazy.
It's not. It's the American story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hey guys, my name's JC. I'm from Northern California. I basically just wanted to call in and share a recent experience I had about 2 years ago. But before I get into it, I just wanted to say I love the show. It helps kill time while I work. I work late hours, so you can imagine a show like this brings me a lot of joy. So before I even start with that, I was not the biggest skeptic, but I had never seen anything in my life that made me think of like something paranormal. But I always was interested in it because my mom had a lot of experiences as a kid, experiences and things like that. And she would see different things with her siblings there. So those are stories for another time. But anyways, this happened about 2 years ago when I was in college. I went to college in Chico State. my roommate and I had gone to the gym late at night, and when we were leaving, we took a shortcut through the campus to get to our house because we lived on the opposite end, and it was just the fastest way to get there. And this road, the way it was set up, it had a crosswalk and a bike lane, but in between the crosswalk and the bike lane, there was a bush every now and then, like about 6 feet long type thing. Like, not a huge bush, but enough to cover a person as they walk by. And basically, we're driving through campus, and I had noticed a figure jogging, like a person jogging. It looked like a full person just jogging, but the thing was, I couldn't see what they looked like. And this was late at night, so you know, I could only judge what I could see off of what my headlights were shining on. But mind you, they were on the sidewalk right next to us. So it was pretty well lit, but not super well lit because I wasn't directly behind them. But basically, as I'm pulling up, I noticed that they didn't have like any features that I could see. And I was thinking all this in my head, and I was like, huh, you know, just curiosity. I want to get a better look and see what they look like because, you know, usually my headlights flash anywhere and they're pretty bright. You know, I could see anything. But I didn't see anything, so I thought that was weird. So as we're pulling up, I start to look to see if I could get a better look at them. As we pull up, the thing is, a bush comes in between us. How I had described earlier, there's a bush between the bike lane and the sidewalk. Well, this bush comes in between us right as we're passing the person, quotation marks, running. Right as we pass that bush, I turn, I almost break my neck trying to look back, and I don't see anything. And mind you, on the other side of that was a building with no openings or exits that were available to the public. So there was nowhere for this person running to turn to, you know, disappear like that, because that bush, we drove by it in a split second. Just like that, the person jogging was gone. And I thought that was weird, and I just shook my head because, you know, I was dismissive of it. I didn't think my roommate saw it, so I just keep driving. as we get to the next light, my roommate just says, like, did you see that too? And I was like, I played dumb. I was like, did I see what? And he was like, that person jogging, and then they disappeared. And I was like, yeah, but the thing is, I didn't get a good look at them. All I saw was like a black mass. Like I could see the figure of the person jogging. I could see their arms and legs running, but I just couldn't see them. Like, it was like a shadow. And he was like, yeah, I told you, man. And the reason he said that was because he always told me about his ghost stories, just like my mom would. But I was always interested, like, oh, I want to see one day. And mind you, this is another funny thing. The house we lived in at the time was over 100 years old. It was built in 1920. So this was in 2020. I was like about 100 years old. And I never felt or saw anything there. So I just thought that was interesting. And the thing that didn't really scare me about it too much was maybe I'm just telling myself this because I don't want to think it followed me. But I think the reason I saw it that day was because my roommate was there, and I think he attracts that energy to him because he's had a lot of instances or he sees things, and he's had other friends that confirmed his stories because they'll see the same thing with him, present at the time. So I'm not sure if it was something that was following him or it was just by chance this thing manifested itself around us. And Chico is known for having a lot of people get killed by cars all the time. So, it could have been anybody jogging right there that lost their life. Not saying that's what we saw, but there is a lot of stories of pedestrians getting killed there. And I also wanted to tell you guys another story. This one was from my mom. Sadly, I only had one encounter, but maybe it's a good thing. But my mom has had many encounters with her siblings, and they've confirmed most of the stories because I didn't believe her growing up. And then I asked them, and they're like, no, it's true. And basically, my mom would see things up until her early 20s, I want to say. That's when she stopped being open to it, I think, and it stopped. Anyways, this happened to my mom when she was in college. She was probably 18, 19. She was visiting her family during break. She had gone to college in Northern California, and her family lived in Southern California, so she was only there a few times a year. And basically, she had three siblings living there at the time. She had a younger sister named Gabby. She was probably a teenager. Another sister named Melissa. She was probably three. And my newborn uncle, her youngest brother at the time, his name was David. He was like a couple months old. He was still a baby. So the way they were set up when they were sleeping that night, my uncle was in the doorway, or not in front of the doorway, but his crib was near the doorway. My Aunt Gabby had a bed, had a pull-out bed, and my mom basically took that pull-out bed and slept on that part. And her other sister, Melissa, the three-year-old, wanted to sleep with my mom, so my mom's like, okay, cool, you can sleep with me. So basically during the night... mind you, it was summer, so the windows were open. So during the night, basically, my mom felt her little sister, Melissa, go to the bathroom, and she went to get her grandma, my mom's mom, and said, hey, can I go to the bathroom? So they went together. So my grandma and my mom's sister, Melissa, were in the bathroom. And all of a sudden, my mom hears a woman crying in Spanish, mis hijos, which is my kids. And it sounded like it was in the room. So my mom gets up, rubs her eyes, starts looking around, and she sees a woman crying near the doorway, kind of by my uncle's crib, just saying mis hijos, and she's like crouching. So my mom automatically assumes it's my grandma, her mom, because at the time she was in an abusive relationship with my grandpa, but that's another story. So she assumed that was my grandma. So she goes, hey mom, are you okay? And, the woman looks up at my mom, and my mom described this woman as like as white as the moon. And this woman gets up, looks at my mom, and then just darts down the hallway. So my mom, she doesn't have the best vision, mind you, because she had to wear glasses, but she didn't have her glasses on because she was sleeping. But she got a good enough look to know it was a woman. And basically, the woman ran down the hallway, so my mom gets up to go follow her and be like, mom, what's going on? Are you okay? Like, trying to check on her. As she runs down the hallway, as my mom gets up to run down the hallway to chase after her mom, or what she thought was her mom, my grandma, her mom, opens the door, and she's right there in the bathroom with her little sister. And my mom's like, hey, are you okay? I just saw you crying. are you okay? Is everything okay? And my grandma's like, what are you talking about? And my mom's like, I just saw you crying and you ran down the hallway. And my grandma clenches Melissa, her sister, grabs her baby, the youngest baby, the newborn. Basically, she grabs the newborn out of the crib and takes the toddler, and she goes to the room and tells my mom, good night. It doesn't say anything else. So my mom, you know, she's shaken up. She just saw a spirit. And, you know, this isn't my mom's first rodeo. So she just shakes her head and she's scared, and she just jumps in the bed with her sister, Gabby, in the regular bed, and they call it a night. The next morning, my mom is talking to my grandma about it, and she's like, hey, what was that about? Like, you didn't even, like, tell me anything. You just went to bed, you know, and took the kids. And my grandma looks at her, and she says, I heard the woman crying, but I heard her crying outside of the bathroom window. And I got scared when you told me you saw her, because it confirmed that there was a ghost or something. Like, she basically got spooked. Mind you, my grandma's never seen a spirit, but she's heard them and heard of, like, stories of them. So my grandma got spooked and took the kids, basically, and left my two aunts, or my mom and her sister, in the room. And then my mom told told her sister Gabby about what she saw. And Gabby said that she heard the woman crying, but it was outside of the bedroom window, not inside of the room. So I don't know. That made it even creepier, because they all heard the woman crying, but in different directions. Mind you, the bathroom window and the bedroom window are on completely opposite sides of the house. And my mom heard her in the room and saw her in the room. So I don't know. It was a very, very scary story. And yeah, I have plenty of stories from my mom, if I can get her to tell me some more. But I know a few more if you guys ever want to hear some more. I love your show. It helps kill time. And yeah, I'm going to become a extra podcast person here soon. And yeah, I appreciate what you guys do. It's a great show. And I've never really told this story to too many people, because it's really scary. And, you know, even me talking about it, I get a little nervous now that I know that there is something out there after I experienced the shadow person running. But yeah, appreciate you guys. And I hope you guys have a good one.
That was a creepy story.
That was really creepy. And that whole people hearing the same sound but coming from different places, I thought was really kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
Yep. And then the first one with the jogger was really interesting to me as well.
I kept thinking of Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but I don't think it had to do with the friend being more of a, you know, open to that sort of thing and has seen that. I mean, I don't think that would have allowed him to see that just because he was with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he legit saw it himself.
Yeah.
His own.
It makes you wonder sometimes. I mean, how often do we see dead people? Because so many stories, it's like they just blend in perfectly. They're not like always these glowing, wispy ideas that we have. I there's been some of them, the stories and some of the pictures that I've seen over the years. Some of the ones that really kind of freak me out the most are the ones where I'm like, well, where's the ghost? It's like, it's the one right there. That's a person. It's like, no, it's not.
Yeah, and like, it just makes you wonder, because like, you could have easily just driven by and gone, oh, it's a jogger, or it's just a person, you know, doing their thing.
Yeah.
They both noticed the person.
I also wonder about like really congested things too, like state fairs and things where just massive crowds together at one time. You know, how if there's so much energy in that area, if you were to be materialized, for lack of a better term, I know what a better place to blend in, where everybody's just kind of, you know, following the crowd, literally.
It's very interesting. But then I think, like, you could walk by someone and make eye contact with them and have the feeling, like, that was weird. Like
you look at them and they have no soul.
Like, I'm picking up on they don't have a soul. It's like, hey, Tony, that guy back there, I don't think he has a soul. And you'd be like, Carol, let's go get some more frozen or fried shit. And I'd be like, Tony, my stomach would never let me eat that. But that person had no soul.
Hey, look, the no soul guy's over at the hot dog stand. Let's go over there. Look,
it's a bacon wrapped fried hot dog dipped in honey.
And deep fried.
That one.
Yes.
Actually, that's too normal. It would have to have one more element to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they have one at the state fair. It's like a Krispy Kreme burger.
Oh God! Yeah,
Instead of a bun, it's a Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
Which sounds like the grossest thing in the world.
The one that I've heard of, and I don't even understand it, is the deep fried butter. What the hell is that?
Yeah, they have it at the state fair here. Like I hate butter anyway. But I think that it's like really, 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 really frozen solid. Then they probably put, you know, some kind of coating on it and then just flash fry it right quick.
And then you drink it? I mean, what?
And then you take a bite and it drips all over everybody. So they probably should have a designated eating area. Because I would be pissed off if somebody's like took a bite and like we're standing in line to go get on the Ferris wheel. I was like, what the fuck? Did you really just give a deep fried damn butter all over me? Like you can't wash it out.
What is deep fried butter? I want to understand.
It's deep fried butter, Tony.
Is it literally just frozen butter and then it's. Or is
it's like lots of preservatives and shit, I'm sure.
It looks like it kind of, it's super heavy in butter, but it almost looks like a really wet dough that you, so I don't know.
Because all those fried things have a, like I eat them, my God, I don't have a gallbladder, I can't eat anything.
Yeah.
Like that. But like all that fried stuff does have some kind of batter around it, you know.
Sure.
So my guess is there's like some pancake.
Okay, here it is. Here's what it is. It's simply melon ball sized bites of fried dough dusted in powdered sugar with a melted core. They create almost an inside out pancake. The butter is just a dip. It's essentially just more of a fun way to eat breakfast. That's all it is.
Man, I must have some kind of extra power because I said pancake.
I was totally thinking it was like literally. They're taking.
I'm in tune with the universe. Yeah. I didn't even know.
Yeah, there you go. That's trippy.
Pancake kind of made sense to me.
Well, I couldn't figure. I was like, they can't just. Anyway, these are the things I think about. So when Harper comes to me and goes, "Dad, what was the thing I told you about earlier?"
When you call 911,
can you get an exorcist when you call 911? So those are things
you're like.
And I'm contemplating butter balls and.
You're like, no, honey, but what the fuck is fried
butter? You know, the thing is, this is very much how our conversations go. It's just random, 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 random back and forth.
I can totally see that.
We should just do it. Me and Harper should just do a podcast. Just roll tape. Just record our day.
And that's the name of your podcast. Roll tape.
Roll tape. It's just excerpts from our day that we thought were funny.
I would totally listen to that.
She's now when we're out, because I still have my arm brace on. When somebody asks, like, "Oh, what happened?" She's jumping in before I can, and she's says, "Oh, that's the new Alexa." And then she looks at me and she goes, "Alexa, arm up." And I lift my arm up. "Alexa, turn arm." And I do it. And people are like, "Oh my God, like, is that really what?" Because they're looking, because I'm playing along with it. And they're like, is that really truly what it is? Yeah. They're like, "But what happened?" And then she jumps in again and she's like, "Wild lemurs. There was a pack of wild lemurs he was trying to save from a burning tree." And then the guy looks at me again. This isn't a subway. This actually happened. And I'm like, "Yeah, wild lemurs." He's like, "My goodness." As he gets his Italian BMT and then heads out the door.
Wild lemurs.
And it's an Alexa-powered arm brace.
So I met someone today in line at this store, and he's got an Alexa-powered arm. I didn't know that was available.
I met him at the subway.
But it's true. Because his adorable little daughter was telling me about it.
That's Harper. Jeez.
I'm telling you, you put that out there, somebody's going to walk away. And that's what they're going to have a conversation about over dinner. You and your Alexa powered arm.
The thing is, I interact with nobody here, but it would be interesting if you're kind of in like the little coffee clutches around town and you started to hear some of the bullshit that you've created making the rounds as if it's fact.
That would be amazing. I would love that.
Is it Alexa powered arm guy? Here's some tech by lemurs.
It's like, could that be the guy?
I wonder if that's him. Are you the lemur guy? Yeah.
Yes, I am, sir.
Yes, I am. Nice to meet you. Alexa, shake hand. And then my arm.
That's so cute. I love Harper.
Oh, she's great.
Everybody does. It's always, she's a good kid.
Always an adventure with Harper. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. Until next time, for Carol and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.